We bless you for who you are. And we honor your presence and we reverence your presence. And we say that you are all, you are everything, you are the most important thing about us. You are our goal. You are our purpose in life. So we just thank you and appreciate you just for loving us the way that you do. We're grateful in Jesus' name, amen. I don't think we're going to be very long. I really can't. Lost our showmans, though, then we ain't got no time tonight to really get into it all. But once again, whenever you're ministering, I know whenever I come here, it's not about me teaching good or me being such a good teacher, but it's about saying something to spark you to deeper meditation. Remember, whenever you're ministering, you're not supposed to do it for the people. Your whatever you're going to say over that pulpit or over that podium or wherever you minister to, that's not doing it for them. They have to do it on their own. It has to spark them towards a deeper knowing of God. If it's not sparking them towards a closer pursuit with God or a deeper relationship with God or a deeper knowing God more or sparking them to want to study about God more or know about Jesus more, then you're kind of wasting your time. Just remember that whenever you're ministering, you are not going to do it. I don't care how anointed you think you are. I don't care how much you think you done prayed. I don't care what revelation you think God done dropped hot off the fire to you. Bless the Lord for all that. But your ministry should spark something. I wrote something down today, and I don't know. I said I speak to spark. So I put it down, and I said I speak. I speak to spark, and when I speak to spark something in someone else. Your witnessing should be that way. You know, you're not. You know, I know we work at the terminology and all that, but you're not getting them saved. You get what I'm saying? You're pointing them in a direction, but they got to accept for themselves. Same way when you're ministering, everything, and so it's not about, it's not about what you do. It's not about your ability or how good you are. And that does not mean don't get better. It does not mean don't press to be better. Remember I said last week that pressing doesn't change God's process, but it prepares you for his promotion. All right, pressing does not change God's process. It prepares you for his promotion. So that does not mean you don't press to get better. It does not mean you don't push yourself to do better things. But at the end of the day, it's not about what you do, but it's about what he does in you and through you. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and put your finger there. But turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. A lot of y'all know the scripture. We just read it just for knowledge sake. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And Silver says, verse 13, I want you to read it. Go ahead and read. Ready, read. Stop. Do it again. Stop. Think about it for a moment. Read it again. Who? Who? Okay, work it well. Both to will and to what? Of his good pleasure. To will and to do of his good pleasure. God would work it in you. It is God working in you. I said this last week and I'll say it again. The biggest epidemic or the biggest problem that ministers have and ministry have and any kind of ministry have is ego and itself. You know, to imagine to be John chapter 15, I won't get ahead of myself. I have a tendency to do that. I'm not going to do it tonight. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus had an innate ability to, he was all God. He was all God, and he was all man. You know, there's a lot of different theologians and different sectors of Christianity, which that doesn't make any sense to me, but different sectors of Christianity that debate whether he was all God and all man and he was weak. I heard somebody say one time, one of the books, Jesus would have been more compassionate, most people would have got saved. What? If somebody had said another book, Jesus would have spent less time dealing with the Pharisees, more people would have got delivered. Jesus was perfect in himself. There was not, whatever he did was revealing the Father. He was the exact, the revelation of the Father, clear as day. Jesus had an innate ability to be fully in the Spirit, but fully in this world. To be able to walk both realms and be effective in both, and to be efficient in both, and to carry out the fullness of both, for me, I marvel at it. I don't read about Jesus because I'm supposed to. I don't read about Jesus because you want to hear about the resurrection. I read about Jesus because he excites me. Like I'm a fan. Whatever you want to call it, I'm a fanatic behind Jesus, because it was amazing to me how he did this. You know, most people try to make an excuse, well, you know, he was all God, that's why he was doing it. Well, no, because if that's the case, he wouldn't have came down here in a fleshly body. He wouldn't have came through the womb like you and I did. He did it for a reason. God set it up that way for a reason, to show you something. It wasn't just for him to come and do all these things and become a great superstar to you and then die on the cross and you just, and you get the resurrection, but then you don't understand how to live after you're saved. How long you been saved? How long do you say? You know, in the moment you got saved, the days you got saved, how long you been saved? Okay, cool. But you didn't die right then, did you? Because you're still here, right? If it was just about that, just about saying the prayer and crossing the line, then poof, we'd have been caught up in the glory. But it wasn't about that. It's about doing something here. Jesus had the innate ability to be able to be in both worlds and be effective at the same time. And I always say, whenever I talk about Jesus, I always say, he always go back and says, and the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. He said, you're going to do the same thing and greater. So this ability to do this, and this ability to be effective in this earth realm, just as revealing the Father, just as God is effective. How effective is God? Of course, the question, come on, how's effective God? He is effective. He is the affection. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to, he's it. Like, he said, you can't really describe him. He just, you know, we use these words to describe God, but you can't really do it. You know, that's just for our feeble minds to have something to wrap around. But he just is what it is. Like, he just, he's that thing. And how effective is he? Well, he wants us to be just effective then, because we got connection. Last week we were talking about the pursuit and talking about the intensity. The pursuit, the intensity, the level of intensity that you pursue is the level of experience you have with God. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember last week. Going after God. Jesus had a high intensity after God. Now, it's funny to me because, you know, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He was God. He was a part of God. He's God's only Son. But yet he knew in this suit, this earth suit, I had to pursue God with everything that I got in order to function here like God functions. I had to pursue him with everything. He had that ability to be able to do that. And everywhere he went caused change. There was not a place that he went that he didn't cause change. You know, he went to city, and some city they said a few people couldn't, only a few people got healed because of their faith. But he was shaking up things everywhere he went. The power of God was always present to heal them, deliver them, whatever they needed. There was a power of God there. And so I'm looking at Jesus, and we have to understand that it's not about us. It's not about what... It's not about, sometimes we say, I want to do something for God. It's not about what you want to do for God. Because now it starts talking about you again. Now it's you again. Now it's about, I want to do something for God. Sounds like a good statement, huh? I want to be in the will of the Lord. No, because that's you again. That's talking about you. I want to do something for God. God don't need you to do nothing for him. Do y'all understand that? And so I'm paying attention to Jesus, and I'm seeing how he functions. And I'm seeing his terminology and how he spoke. And Jesus said, I'll start off verse 1. I just do a little reading. And we may end up reading this whole chapter. And I saw so much stuff in here about love and the commandments. And I'm realizing that the love of God is a lot of times in the word of God. Like when he give you his word, it's him loving you. You know, we put it out, but I don't have time to get into all that. I'm true vine, the Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, he take it away. And every branch that bear fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clinging to the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am that vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 is our favorite, right? Verse 7, read. Ready, read. Then he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So herein is my Father glorified, what? That you bear much fruit. So two things now that happens in this scripture. Verse 8, it says, the Father is glorified, and I can recognize you as a disciple because of the fruit that you bear.
Yes, sir.
So if there's no fruit, then the Father can't be glorified. And somewhere along the line, you're not a disciple. What's the root word of disciple? Disciplined. Because it should bear fruit. Ministry should bear fruit. Listen to me. Ministry should bear fruit. If God has called your name and called you to the ministry should bear fruit. Not fictitious fruit. Not a dream or something in the ad. No, it should bear fruit. You can put it on your paper. This is the most simple statement you probably did. Ministry should bear fruit. Ministry should bear fruit. Ministry should bear fruit. If the ministry is not bearing fruit, then it's somewhere that you're off. It's somewhere that your pursuit. It's somewhere that either your pursuit is off or somewhere that you mingled his will with your will. It's a mingling. I don't have no number. I don't have no percentage. But a lot of ministers, I would say a lot of ministers. There's a lot of church. A lot of churches everywhere. Y'all see a lot of them, right? Everybody won't be a preacher. Everybody won't start a church. Everybody think that they, you know, praise the Lord, that's between them and the Lord. But ain't all them people that's deciding to be a part of the clergy per se, I don't see that same correlating amount of fruit. Think about how many preachers you see out there. I know some preachers, boy. I know some preachers, but I don't see that same amount of fruit coming forth. I don't see that same thing. And I think that this book said it. It says, the guy said in the book, he said, and we talked about it earlier, we said a lot of times, he said, they won't change to the way that we're doing things about the apostolic and the government. They won't change because that means that they'll have to go back and change, dismantle some things and rework some things that they've built to get what they've always wanted. Get what they've always wanted. It's not about what you want.
That's right. Amen.
Who you think wanted better, you or Jesus? We won't get saved. We won't get souls saved, right? Who you think wanted better, you or God? Who got the stronger desire for it? So we need to lean on his and not ours.
Yeah.
Don't, because you can get weak sometimes.
That's right.
You can get weak. I'm dealing with people. Y'all ready for this? Dealing with people. You can get weak sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I ain't talking about weak. Like, oh, I'm just weak. Like, you know, I don't want to be compassionate right now. That's weak. I don't want to preach the word to them right now. They don't even listen to me half the time. Look at them. They don't even come to church. Look at Bible study on Wednesday night. They ain't even here. They know this word of God supposed to come forth. They know, but they ain't even here. I'm weak now. Why? I got to lean on his desire and not mine. I got to lean on him and not me. The branch itself can't bear fruit except to be connected to the vine. My whole source is being connected to the vine. My whole source is to be relying on his desire, not my own. My own desire can't do nothing. That's like trying to do things on your own merit. Remember, your own work? It's not going to work because you don't do good enough. You don't have that quality caliber of doingness, if that's a word. I don't even know this word. You don't have the ability to do that good. Not to that level. And so I know that the Father gets glorified, and I know that I'm disciplined, or I know that I'm a disciple if I'm bearing fruit. But I can't bear fruit unless I'm connected to the vine. I can't bear fruit unless not only connected, because see, we get that mixed up too. Because now you save, you say you're connected, right? No. How tight are you connected? You know, you can be born again and not hearing nothing from God because you got your own mindset. I'm seeing it every day. Oh yeah, we're gonna bust heaven wide open. We're gonna be in heaven all. We're gonna be in heaven. People, we're gonna be in heaven together. But bearing fruit here. Why are we still here? What is? Why are we here, Ronnie? Why are we still here? Right now, I got born again when I was a little boy. I was a young little kid. Why between now and then I'm still here? Cause doing something for God. Why is this here? Because there's something on this side that's got to be done. There's some fruit on this side that's got to be bad so that people can see who God is and that he can be glorified. Our focus has to be on that. So now, connected to the vine so I can bear fruit. Connected to the vine so I can bear fruit. Connected to the vine. Well, oh, all right, Montrell. Well, how do I connect to the vine? Is it because I'm born again? Well, now Jesus get to talking. He said, I don't do nothing. And we'll jump on John 5. He said, I don't do nothing. What the Father tell me to do. Do y'all understand that statement?
Yes, sir.
No. Think about it for a minute. Do you understand? He said he don't do nothing. How many things we done because we thought it was going to make the Lord pleased? We were trying to please God, huh? I want to please God. You know, once again, all those sentences are focused on what you want. What about what he want? I'm going to think about that for a minute. There's a book that I don't know if y'all took this class. Did y'all take, we might have changed the curriculum by then. Did y'all take, y'all didn't take Experience in God. Did y'all take that?
No.
There's a book by, I think his name is, I'll find the guy's name. It's called Experience in God. I think his name is Blackaby. I'm not sure, but Henry T. Blackaby. I wanted to say it, but I didn't know if it was right. Henry Blackaby called Experience in God. He said, you know, everybody always going to say, I want to know God more. I want to be a part of God's will. I want to do something with God. But the root subject, if you take it in English, the subject of that is I. What I want to do. I must be crucified. Y'all see that? That's the only thing he told me to do with I. Crucified. Kill it. Because I don't know nothing. And he said, you know, y'all, the statement is, I want to be in God's will. But now, again, that's focused on me. No, let me find God's will and wrap my life around that. See, it seems like it's just flipping words over, and it seems like you're just switching things around in the sentence, but it does everything with your mindset towards God. Because it's not about what you want, but it's about what he wants. Do y'all get that? It's not about what you want to do, what you're trying to do for God. If you're up here trying to do something for God, stop. Stop trying to do something. Even later on in the chapter, he said, You ain't found me, I found you. You ain't choose me, I chose you. Stop trying to do for me what I'm trying to do through you. Put it down. Stop trying to do for me what I'm trying to do through you. You put yourself through a lot of hard work and a lot of hard time trying to do something for God when God ain't asking you to do nothing for him. He's asking you to open up to him so he can work. It is Christ. We just read it. It's God working in you. He works in you. It's God doing it. So now I got to move out the way. He says, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you should ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Now, a lot of times we jump on the abiding word, but now we've got to abide in him. We've got to be in him. We've got to dwell and be in his will. The only way that we're going to bear fruit or do something that's extraordinary or do something out of the norm or have church unusual is being in him. It's the only way. In you, there's nothing. In him, there's everything. In your will, he didn't say your kingdom come, your will be done. That wasn't what the prayer said. Jesus prayed this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he said, he's praying now. There's not a, you know, we quote it sometimes. No, he wasn't a quote. He was praying. This is how he prayed. He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus was praying this because he understood that as thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not what I want to do for him. Not my vision board. Huh? That's a new wave took the church. You know, we I ain't got nothing against it. Y'all do it. You know, I did one and I tore it down. That's cool. Understand that. I get it all. But your vision board will get caught up on your vision. It's real easy to get caught up on your vision. What God is calling me to, me to, me to. These little sentences are very tricky. Because sometimes it could be me blaming it on God. Because I got my suit on, I'm carrying the Bible, and I got a couple of scriptures to back it up. But the fruit, where's the fruit? You can't lie on the fruit. You know that, right? You can say a lot of things. You can't fake the fruit. You cannot fake the fruit. The fruit tells it all. We can get dressed up. We can put ties on. We can quote scripture. We can all pray in the spirit right now, can't we? We can all get up and start raising the hand and worship. We can take a shout around the church. We can all do that. But you cannot fake the fruit. Can't do it. This is how the Father going to be glorified, and this is how I'm going to know you're a disciple. This is verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This is how I'm going to see you disciplined. If you really discipline this word. Go over John 5. I'm not going to be, I don't have time to read this whole chapter. Flip over to John chapter 5. Verse 19. Jesus answered unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. What's the next line? For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So the Son can do how much of himself? How much can the Son do? It got a capital S right there. Jesus was trying to tell us something. Jesus was trying to show us something. Jesus said, listen, I can't do anything. I know how I got here. I know how I was born. I know I came from the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I can't do nothing of myself, but only what the Father shows me. He said this over and over again in this chapter. He talking about, I can't do nothing. Let me go down. Father, let me look at this. I want to look at it just like I looked at it a minute ago. There's some words highlighted. That's exactly how I want to look at it. I said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Whatsoever thing he doeth, these also doeth the Son. Verse 30. You see it? I'll read it. Read it again. Do nothing. Stop. I can of my own self do how much?
Nothing.
What can you do of your own self? How much can you do? How much can you accomplish with your zeal for God? How much can you accomplish of yourself? Absolutely nothing. Of my own self. You know, this would be one of the biggest things. This would be one of the biggest understandings of your ministry. When you realize it's not about what you do. You know, Jesus also had the ability, and I was about to say at the beginning, I'm glad I didn't. Jesus had the ability, you know, he's all God. But he's all man. All right? He a tri-type being just like me and you. All right? Jesus had a spirit. Jesus was a spirit, had a soul, lived in a body. Three parts, huh? All right. Imagine, see, we got to study more about you. Imagine, here's why ego is tricky, because imagine being all God, all right? And when you touching stuff, it's coming to life. And when you laying hand, they getting about them chairs. When you putting hands on them eyes, they opening. I want you to sit in the seat for a minute. The greatest thing about Jesus wasn't the things that we saw happen, but it's what was going on the inside. Listen to me. We get excited about the water and the wine, and we get excited about the bread. And I heard the guy say this, and it was a great statement. He said, you know, that stuff is natural to God. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not exciting. You thought Jesus was like, woo, let's shout, boy, the bread broke. Did y'all see that recorded in there? Jesus got excited because, remember he went and cursed the fig tree? Remember he cursed the fig tree? Mark 11, remember he cursed the fig tree? And he cursed the fig tree, he left. He cursed it. All right, gone. He wasn't waiting for nothing to happen. That's how we are. We wasn't waiting for nothing to crumple down. We want to see the bomb blow up, right? We got to see it. You know, we like Dalton Thomas, right? I got to fill the holes myself. He come back, they passing back. Oh, look, Jesus. Jesus, look, the tree. He said, have faith in God. I believe he said it in that exact tone. Almost like, what, you thought it wasn't going to do it? So what, you thought I was playing when I said what I said? He didn't, the greatest thing about Jesus was his obedience and was his submission. Now, we want what he did, but we got to do what he did. Come on, y'all. Come on. We want that. I want that. I want to, you know, that I want to. Here we go again. I want to, what I want to do. You want miracles to happen, right? But you got to tap into the miracle maker. At that level of intensity. Do y'all see that? The greatest thing about him wasn't about the cross was an act of obedience. He was obedient even unto death. Do y'all get that? He was obedient. If there was no obedience, there would have been no death. If there was no obedience, what if Jesus would have went grudgingly? He could not have gone to the cross grudgingly, because it'll mingled up the water. It'll messed up the pure sacrifice. Do y'all get that? The heart, the character of Jesus was the main thing. And he was only like that because he said, everything you see me do, it's what my Father tell me to do. I myself can do nothing. I ain't nobody. I ain't got no merit. Don't pat me on the back. The only, don't call me, don't, hell, Jesus was telling him, go and don't tell nobody what happened, right? I used to wonder what is going on, but Jesus said, I don't want no pat on the back. I'm out here to get this work done. That's it. What you see me do, I'm here to reveal the Father. That's my whole goal. I'm not here for nothing else. That's it. I'm here to reveal the Father. And so his obedience, he wasn't walking around struggling for God. He was doing whatever God told him to do. Jesus even had to catch himself and say, nevertheless, not my will. If you can, what'd he say? Y'all know that part? Yeah, you can. Let's just go. Let somebody else do this. Being prudent. The word prudent, my apostle hit me today. He called me today and he told me something. And, you know, he be hitting me on the phone. I just be like, he don't know, but I put him on speakerphone. I get to typing up my notepad. And when he get to talking to me, like he was talking to me last week, I said, you know, I got to teach class tonight, right? So, you know, you keep talking to me, and I'm going to have a good message for class tonight. Because I just be putting it down. He said prudent. He said what it means to be prudent is to solve a problem suddenly at that moment. Like at a direct moment. I ain't got to go to prayer closet. See, that's a connection right there, boy. To be able to be prudent, to be able to, right? I ain't got no time. Sometimes you ain't got no time to go in the closet.
That's right.
You ain't got no time to go get your Bible and like, uh-oh, let me see what the word is. No. That's why the pursuit got to be there. That's why you got to be in the mix all the time, because sometimes I have to be prudent about what I have to do. It was a prudent fix of a problem when Jesus said, if you can, let this cup pass from me. He was saying, if you can do this another way, do it another way. Now, in the same breath, in the same sentence, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not about what you want. It's his will. It's his will. It's his will. This is his life. Your life is his life. No. It's not about what you want. We got all these things. We're designed for. We're going for all these things that we're trying to seek you first. And all these will be added. See, we miss it because we're doing all these. Sometimes we even ministry, we go after things. I'm not just talking about just monetary right now. Listen to what I'm saying. We go after things and we go after vision because we going after it and God may not have said nothing about it, and that's why it don't work. Not my will. Come on, let me say it again. Not my will, but thy will. Not my will. His greatest thing was his obedience and his submission. Imagine if you did all those things. Imagine if you told him to go get barrels and the water came back wine. What you thought? How you thought Jesus' face was? You thought you sitting there like, yeah, I got it. Come on. The personality of Christ. We want to know about Jesus, huh? Want to know about Christ, huh? Let's think about it. You just start breaking bread and start multiplying in your hands. You tell him cast a hook and there's going to be a fish and money in his mouth taking to go pay your taxes. Because tax season now, right? How did it make you feel? How make you feel? Uh-oh. Reverend Montrell got it going. You ain't know I broke some bread yesterday, huh? Yesterday I took that bunny bread and broke it, boy. I made two loaves out of one. Ain't nobody told you? How'd it make you feel? When you grab them and they rise up and walk, and they get up and walk. How'd it make you feel? Where you going to be at? Who church you going to start? You know they wanted Jesus. You know they wanted Jesus to pastor them. Y'all know that, right? They go read about Jesus. They want Jesus. They try to make him, constrain him to stay in the city. Come on, stay here with us. Don't go nobody else. Look. Don't go deliver nobody else. Stay here with us. You so great. Stay here with us. Jesus, I ain't come down here to pastor y'all. Come on, man. Where you at? Now, the ability for him to be able. Now, how you do this? Now, I'm a man. I'll be 32 in June, so I understand the 30-something-year-old mindset. All right, and Jesus was right around. He's 30 when he started his ministry. Then he 30. He about 34, 35. They the theologians say different things. 34, 35, 36, whatever. In between there, when it's time for him to give it up. Hey, well, shoot. God promises how many years? His daddy. Jesus' daddy. About 4 score? And 89-some years ago. They didn't say more than that. All them years. I'm 34, Jesus. 34, Lord. God, I'm 34. My ministry just popping off. I'm just getting started. It ain't about what you're getting started. It ain't about what you're doing. We've got to drop all this us. We'll never get to this. We'll never get to this. Because see, you usual. This is just you right here. Usual. You normal. Me too. Listen up. You got to tell yourself sometimes. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know you're normal, right? And even though I know I'm a royal priesthood, I'm a holy nation, I'm a peculiar people, right? Don't get the quote in the scriptures in your head on me. I know the scriptures, all right, I get it. But you're only peculiar and you're only a royal priesthood because of who he is in you. In yourself, you ain't nothing. If you could ever, listen, that'd be the best revelation you ever had in your life. If you ever could remind yourself that. Now, that's not self-beating yourself and your self-inflicted pain. It ain't about that. You ain't nothing. You're dirt. No, now you're going too far. Now you're condemning yourself. You're dirty rag. That's condemnation. but realize submission and obedience, you ain't it. I don't care what title you get, and God can use you in a mighty way. I believe God will use you in a mighty, mighty way. But it's only compared to how you are submitted to him. The level that he can use you at is determined by the level that you're submitted to him. It can't be none of you in there. Do y'all get what I'm saying? It can't be none of your plan. If the plan is not given by God, then it's not really a plan to be used. How'd that make you feel? Ministry just started popping off. We just got going. You ain't seen them eyes get open last week? Even when they come and take them, you ain't seen them people fall at the power when I spoke? Now, if Jesus would have had some of him in there, then that's how he'd have been talking. And it'd have been another moment. Watch this. If Jesus would have had some of him in there, I heard a guy preach the other day, and I got a revelation out of it. You know, when right after he got baptized and he went off into the wilderness and tempted the devil, y'all right? Right? Y'all with me? Y'all with me? The devil tempted him, said, turn the bread into a stone, turn the stone to bread, right? Right? And then he tempted him. He said, cast yourself off of here. You know what I'm saying? Because don't the Bible say the angels come down to catch you from in the ground? And lastly, he said, bow down and worship me. Jesus was a spirit, had a soul, intellect, mind, will, emotions, and lived in the body. All right, temptation. Right? The Bible talks about there's no temptation common to man that he didn't experience, right? Temptation. Well, what is a temptation? Well, it had to mean that Jesus had to consider it. No. Jesus whooped him with the word, right? That's what we get excited about, huh? He hit him with the word. No. Because it wouldn't be a temptation. It would. What? Come on, y'all. What is a temptation? It's something to make you think, I don't know. Maybe I know it's wrong, but maybe I could. It's temptation. You, in order for it to be a temptation, it has to be a consideration involved. And so now he done tempted him he said, he turned his rock in the bread, right? I'm saying it right, he turned it in the bread. Well, we know he could have done it. Because we saw him start breaking bread the other time, right? He can make matter out of no matter. Say, cast yourself off of here. Well, we know Jesus could defy gravity or whatever he wanted to do, because didn't he walk on the water later on? All right. I know we could have done all these things, but it wasn't about what he wanted to do, but it's about what God wanted him to do. He said, bow down and worship me. He said, and he said, get behind me, Satan. And what Jesus was telling him was, it wasn't that, he wasn't saying, I couldn't do it. You never heard him say he couldn't do it. It wasn't that I couldn't do it, but I'm not going to do it at your word. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because if I do it at your word, then you become my father.
That's right.
If I do it at your word, then you become my source. You see why obedience is important now.
Yes,
if I do it now, whose word are you doing whatever you're doing at? Is it at yours? Is it at what you want to do? Even submission in LTMA, and even in submission to apostles, even in submission, he's pushing us to be closer to God. He's pushing us to hear from God and not just try to duplicate what another man does. See, here's the thing about Jesus. You know, everybody say, I want to be like Jesus, right? Quit your job. Divorce. All right, because Jesus didn't have no wife. Get rid of your kids. Come on, y'all, come on. I want to be like Christ. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be just like Jesus. Well, okay. Ain't never thought about that, huh? Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also in greater works than me, because I go unto my Father. You can do the same type of works. He was saying, be like him in the manner of the process that I take to be everything that I am. You take the same process.
Yeah.
All right? Because you can get legalism and get to start wearing kilts again and wearing sandals and walking around in the dust when that ain't how we working right now.
Right.
He's saying, take the process. Now, each and every one of you have a different call and different gifting that God has given you and things that he's ordained for to happen in this earth through you. All right? Your uniqueness is important. to God's will. All right? But the process and the principle of how it was done is this. It's not what I want, but what he wants. Even when we listen to Apostle, he's saying the same thing. Listen, I'm hearing what God tell me to do. Whatever, I'm doing what the Lord. This is why this ministry is here right now. This is why we in school right now, because the Lord told me to do it. If the Lord went to, I went back and talked to him one time. He said, listen, I ain't asked for none of this stuff. I ain't asked for none of it. You know, I ain't God for no worldwide ministry. I didn't ask God for nothing. We going to, 3 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, we'll be on the plane flying to Brazil. The apostle be going to Brazil for the first time. He didn't ask for this. He didn't call Brazil. Y'all got any churches over there we can preach at? No. Y'all Latin preachers do that. Yeah. Oh, no. Let me warn y'all ahead of time. Yeah. Oh, no, they call, hey, man. Hey, man, it's good to see you, man. Bless the Lord. Man, your ministry is powerful, man. You know, man, God is using you. Man, you know, if y'all ever need anything, you know, let me know. Y'all got any events coming up or anything? Hey, man, get my number now. Then they'll call you. Them singers, they'll call you. What? They'll call you. Send you their whole packet. Here, look, we in the area. Is Jesus in the area? Did he say, yeah, do stuff like that. No, nobody asked for all that. It is easy to function in the will of God. You just got to give up you. It's the simplest thing. Ministry, God, thank you, Holy Ghost. Ministry can be very easy if you get out the way. The hard parts are you. The difficulty is you. You the difficulty. You the problem. It's just a flow. It's just a flow. All I do is, he said, I of myself can do nothing. He told the enemy, I can do it. I can turn this rock into bread 20 times over if you want me to. I can jump off this and fly to the other city if I wanted to. I can do these things, but I'm not going to do them at your word. It's important. The word of the Father. It's important. You know, my father loved me. He gave me his commandment because he loved me. He gave me his commandment. I mean, that's him loving me. And now the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? By who? The Holy Ghost. He's not talking about a smooth little feeling. A smooth little like for everyone is shed abroad. How does that sound? What we think, love, a smooth little feeling in my heart to smile and feel good about everybody and think is shed abroad in my heart. No. He's talking about a revelation. He's talking about loving you by giving you his word. Giving you, and then later on in chapter 15, he starts talking about, I'm going to send you a comfort. I got to go away because he got to come back. Shed abroad in your heart. Listen, people, me included. We've got to amp up our pursuit. We've got to amp up our willingness to be used. We gotta lessen up on what we think and start getting his mind. Let this mind be in you also in Christ. What you think he's talking about? How did Christ think? I can't do nothing. Jesus said that. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't John the Baptist. It wasn't Elijah. It wasn't Jesus said, I can't do nothing. So what is it that you've been doing? Think about it for a moment. Everything you do, you're responsible for. Huh? Yes, it don't matter if you put Jesus' name on it. But my ministry is going to be Jesus Christ International Ministry, but it's really your ministry, right? And so you labeled it Jesus. You got T-shirts made and everything. And so now you think he's responsible for it, but he's not responsible for that because he didn't call that. That's right. If he didn't say it, you know, it's real easy to look and get excited about this stuff, man. Listen to me. Don't get excited about no stuff. Don't get excited about no itinerant ministry. Don't get excited about trying to preach everywhere. Yes, yeah, do my truck. Do you like to preach? Yes, yes, I like to preach, but I'm nervous every time. If I got a chance, I'm going to sit. If I got a chance to sit down, you ask me, if I got a chance to sit down on Sunday at the time to sing, I will sit. Because I'm not that hungry. And I understand if I do get up there, you ever went up there by yourself before? Anybody? Come on, y'all. Y'all, come on, preachers. I done went by myself with my notes. And it was deep, too. I had a whole page of them. And it was by the word, mouth of two or three witnesses. The word be established. Ain't had nothing. It was dry as wood in the summertime. Just need to go back and be like, Lord, I'm sorry. That's all you can do. And you put Jesus on it. Huh. Jesus asked you to label him. Really, Jesus went around and he wouldn't even let him. Jesus never walked in and said, hey, I'm the Messiah. You know me? I'm him. I give you another apostle the other day. He said, if you got the goods, you don't need no advertisement.
That's right.
I know some things in there that I know you have a zeal for things, I understand. But your zeal ain't nothing. Unless you submit it to his will. This is the key. On good ministry, get in his will. Kill yourself. Huh? Oh, you heard somebody, kill yourself. On good ministry, kill yourself. Self got to die. Self-will and self-preservation. Huh? Oh, no. Self-will and self-preservation got to die. You can't back up when you're trying to save yourself. He started talking about it then later. He said, they're going to persecute you. He said, some of y'all, they're going to be ones that are going to try to kill you for my sake. I'm talking about murder, Paul. Paul before Saul. He said, they're going to be trying to kill you. You can't try to self-preserve. Bottom line, it's not about you. Y'all get that, right? I don't, hold on, but listen. I know you got it right now today. What's today's date? April 7th, right? 2014, right? I know you get it right now because we in class and we, you know. But listen, I want you to get it 5 years from now when something major happens.
Yes, that's right.
When you get a little title, or like y'all about to graduate, right?
Yes, sir.
In a few weeks, huh? Woo, all right, get it up. All right, y'all about to graduate. It got to be the same principle.
Yes, sir.
This is the only way your ministry going to work. Don't ever forget that I told you this. I'm saying this, I'm gone. Don't forget that I told you this. It's not going to work no other way. You're going to be them same preachers that's starting a bunch of stuff, and you're wearing your suits, and you're carrying the Bible around, but ain't no power in there. I know thousands of them. Don't. It's not about you. Not about you or what you want or how you think or how you feel, none of that. Ain't about none of that. You get to start feeling about your will. Whenever you decide to do something, find out who the will it is. Find out who want to do this more, you or God. Want me to tell you how to find out if God really want to do something that bad? You want to know how to find out if God really want to do something that bad? You really want me to tell you how God find out if God want to do something that bad? If God really wants to do something that bad, he supplies for it.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got to struggle. When Jesus ever did it? Nah, he didn't never did it. Whenever you're trying to do something. Because what'll happen is you'll get to doing things because you're trying to prove something. God never asked you to prove him. He is who he is alone. Just be, and everything else will become. That's it. It's his will. His will. His will, not yours, his. Calm down. Calm down. Don't have so much excitement about ministry where you can't even think straight. Calm down. Wait for a minute and see what Jesus is saying to you. People get ahead of themselves. You know, one thing we don't ever get back is time.
That's right.
You can make money back, you can get new friends, but you cannot get time back. We only got so much allotted of this, and life is like a vapor, don't it? It's your scripture say that, right? We only got so much. Make the best of it. Get off of you. Get off of you and stay off of you when that phenomenal thing happens. So we believe in God for miracles, right? When that phenomenal thing happens, right after it happens, realize I ain't nothing. Get back low. Get back low. Get back low. Stay low. Stay low and God will lift you high. Stay low, God will lift you high. Stay low. Stay low. Stay low.